Good morning and welcome to our worship this morning. And obviously it's a new day, so in a lot of different ways. And God's love continues to shine on us. And a very special day for Miles and his family as we welcome you into God's family through the sacrament of holy baptism. We've tried to make things as health conscious as possible, so you won't need to touch anything. We do have hand sanitizers both in the front and the back. Offering plates both in the front and the back. We don't need to pass them. And communion will be distributed continuously, so you won't come up around the altar when that time comes, and we'll just be receiving the bread this morning. We're also beginning an experiment with live streaming, so we hope that that's something we can start and be able to continue as an important way to be with people who are unable to physically be here with us. So it's good to do that. Thanks for those who are helping with that. Invite the baptismal party to come forward for the sacrament of holy baptism. And the congregation is invited to turn to page 227 at the front of your book of worship. Page numbers are on the bottom of the page. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized into the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. Called by the Holy Spirit and trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to have your child baptized into Christ?
We do.
As you bring your son to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with him among God's faithful people, bring him to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, place in his hands Holy Scriptures, and help nurture him in faith and prayer so that Miles may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help your child grow in Christian faith and life? And do you promise to nurture Miles in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and help him live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church? People of God, do you promise to support Miles and to pray for him in his new life in Christ? I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family, and through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death, and raise us up to live in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the power of your living word, so those who are washed in these waters may be given new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Miles Gerard, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
It's okay.
Okay. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth. Cleanse them from sin and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Miles Gerard with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence. Amen.
Miles Gerard, child of God. By the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So let us welcome the newly baptized.
We welcome you into the body of Christ, into the mission that we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. And it's our pleasure to present our newest member, Miles Gerard, to this congregation. Child of God.
Yay!
God's blessings. Yeah.
Thank you for being here today. Thank you for all of your safe practices as we join together this Sunday. And we have a very special day today. We are honoring and are able to hear today from Reverend Christine Burma. It is her 35th year of ordination, and this also marks the beginning of her retirement. So it's a double celebration, and we're so pleased. And joining the church, that's right, all of these things. So we are very pleased to have you here today to share this word of God with us, God's comfort, a word of God's presence with us today. We're very, very grateful that you're here. And so we will honor her today with bows and waves and blessings. That's what we do. And there are other ways that we can join together in this community during this time. Please note that, of course, most things we will let you know by email update about the changes coming our way as we learn more ourselves. But we will continue to gather the gifts to give to Interfaith. So if you would please note the Lenten focus, I'll get the eggs after the service. That'll be easy to do. But also, if you'd like to simply write a check for the purchase of these things for Interfaith Community Services, then you can write that check to San Marcos Lutheran Church. We do draw your attention as well to our current financial situation, and we ask that you will prayerfully consider how to support the ministries of this congregation here at this time. All the other announcements we will say are pending, and so you can note them, and if they are going to be happening, we will let you know about that. We continue now with our word of prayer and the reading of the gospel, which will be done theater style. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today to worship you, to honor you, and to hear your good word for us today. Amen.
Amen.
The reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?"
"Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and flocks drank from it?
Jesus said to her,
Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life.
The woman said to him,
Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water.
Jesus said to her,
Go, call your husband and come back.
I have no husband.
Jesus said to her,
You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true.
The woman said to him,
Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem.
Jesus said to her,
Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from Jews. But the hour is coming and is now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
The woman said to him,
I know that Messiah is coming.
He is called Christ.
And when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us.
Jesus said to her,
I am he, the one who is speaking to you.
Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?
So they left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I've ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman,
It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world.
The Gospel of the Lord.
I have loved this woman of Samaria for a long, long time. And I don't remember the time that I came to love her, but it's true, and it's been a long time. And so when in 2002 I went with a group of people from the Southwest California Synod, of which I'm transferring down to this synod soon, I went into a shop. It was in Hong Kong, and I bought a wall hanging. There were many wall hangings in the shop, and many of them showed different stories in the Bible depicted as a wall hanging. Which one did I purchase? I could only afford one. So here it is. Can you see it? Can you see the woman with the hat and the earrings? And then you see Jesus of darker skin, which we know he was. And look at the outfits and the shoes. I thought that was just magnificent, because we tend to see Jesus and people in the scriptures the color we are, don't we? And the pictures that we see, the old Bibles, if you have an old Bible in the pictures, they all look Norwegian. But anyway, I wanted to share this with you because it's something I really love. Scholars, I kind of want to put a parenthesis around, or not parenthesis, but quotes around the word scholars. Because for a long time, the scholars of the Bible have depicted this woman married five times and living with a man who's not her husband as a woman of ill repute. Did the same thing with Mary Magdalene. How many of you have ever heard that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute? Ever taught that? Yep. Comes up all the time. And I heard it in a sermon within 10 years ago that on Easter Sunday. There is nothing in Scripture that suggests she was a prostitute. None. Nothing. Nada. Look it up. That's your homework. And when you look at this woman, do we know why she's had five husbands? Do we know why she's living with a man who's not her husband? I see this woman as a survivor. I see her in this text as bold and inquisitive and intelligent. The community of the Samaritans were not sure, but may have practiced what the Jews practiced, which was, excuse me, I'm not going to say that right, levirate marriage. Do you know what that is? Think about if your husbands, those of you who are married, have a brother. Say, if your husband were to die, then you would be obligated to marry his brother. And say his brother died, married to you, you'd be obligated to marry the next brother. And so on and so forth. And then, depending upon which school of thought you were with, a woman could be divorced for just about any reason. Well, it could be adultery. But it also could be that the woman was not as attractive anymore as the lady down the street. And so she'd be divorced on her own, maybe with children. Oh, the other one, I was looking for it on my notes, but the other one that just fascinated me is that if you burnt the dinner, your husband could divorce you. How many of you have ever, male or female, burnt the dinner? This nameless woman in our text, she eventually had some rank in the church. She has been remembered in the Eastern Orthodox and the Eastern Catholic tradition as she had a name, Photine, P-H-O-T-I-N-E, which means luminous one, luminous one. Isn't that beautiful? And she's seen now as a martyr. There's a story about her life following her encounter with Jesus and her preaching to the people of her community. And the story ends with her dying as a martyr. Believe it or not, legend has it that she was thrown down a dry well. Now, one of the interesting things when we think of her as a woman of ill repute, which I don't believe she was, Jesus expressed no condemnation of her. The point of their conversation had nothing to do with forgiveness or repentance. She was simply stating a matter of fact. She was truthful about her marital status. That's all. Now, one of the verses that we're missing in this text is the one above where we started, where it says that Jesus had need to go to Samaria. He had a need to go there. Now, going to Samaria was the shortest way for him to get back to Galilee. He could have gone an alternative route. It would have taken more time. But he had a need to go to Samaria. Why? When we look at Scripture and there's a need to do something, a necessary traveling, it tells us that there is something divinely appointed. And so Jesus was in Judea, what became known as the Southern Kingdom, and then see Samaria, so he went up from Judea to Samaria, and specifically to this well, Jacob's well. Remember his son, Joseph of many colors? Do you remember? You've seen, yeah, some of that. So that helps with the story a little bit. But he didn't have to go there. He could have gone around. It would have taken more time to get up to Galilee. And Jews took the time. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans, because in 722, there was a battle. And the people of Samaria, some of them were deported, some of them stayed. But others came in, other foreign people came in, and they intermarried. And they also worshipped at a mountain called Mount Gerizim. They worshipped there instead of Jerusalem, which is farther down in Judea. So there was a difference in their worship practices. The Jews thought that the Samaritans were totally ungodly and impure, didn't want anything to do with them. And that helps us understand a little bit why Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, "Why are you asking me for water? I'm Samaritan. Why are you, a Jew, asking me for water?" Well, wasn't it obvious? So Jesus asked for this drink of water, and the woman is surprised. He doesn't know the rules. And then we know that we don't even know if she ever gave him any water. There's misunderstanding back and forth. The woman misunderstands what he's saying. Wouldn't you? About this living water and this kind of water. And, you know, I think it would be very confusing. But Jesus is not talking about ordinary water. He's talking about something called living water. Do you know how many days it takes for us to die of thirst, to be without water? Approximately 3 days, yeah. 3 days. We've got to have water. And so without it, we will die. Food is longer. I think it's like 40 days. It depends on who you are. But nevertheless, water is important. But Jesus isn't talking just about our water, or the water that Miles was just baptized with. She thinks it's just continuing flowing water, like a stream, like more water. And she says, "Well, give me this water so I don't have to come down to this well every day. Maybe twice a day." The conversation then takes a turn to her personal life. She tells Jesus the truth when he asks about her marital status. He doesn't offer her forgiveness, nor does she ask for it. She expressed no embarrassment, no shame, and why should she? Now, I may be wrong, but I don't believe she was the sinner that the scholars say she was. I believe she was a victim of circumstance. Throughout the text, we notice that the woman's understanding of who this Jesus is becomes stronger and stronger. She calls him a prophet. She calls him, or the subject now is, twisted that around, I'm sorry. I haven't preached in summer. So she grows in understanding. Her first step was to call him a prophet. She says he knew stuff. He knew stuff about her. He knew everything about her. Jesus said, "God is spirit. God is not confined to a place." We don't just find God in a sanctuary such as this. We can find God, or God can find us, anywhere. So there was this discussion about where to worship God, on this mountain or that mountain, in Jerusalem or in Samaria. And Jesus said, you know, it's coming. There's going to be a day where nobody's going to be concerned about mountains, that people will experience God in spirit and in truth. And then the woman turns the subject to the Messiah. And Jesus says, I am he. Well, in the Greek Christian scriptures, he is not there. It's I am. Do you remember God being called I am anytime in the scriptures? The Hebrew scriptures, the burning bush, Moses. He wants a name for God, and God says through the burning bush, I am. I am. I am that I am. I will be what I will be. Probably not a very satisfying answer, but the answer nevertheless, I am. At that point, she leaves. She leaves her bucket and she races. She must have been a young woman. She races home to the community where she lives and starts shouting at everybody, come and see this man who told me everything I've ever done. It sounds like the conversation probably went a lot longer than what we have in our gospel reading this morning. She was known. She was known by this man. It doesn't say she was loved, but I think we can assume that. She was known and she was loved. It was so important to her to be known for who she was and accepted just as she was. And that leads me to a question to ask us, each one of us. Who knows you? Now we can say, oh, God knows us. God knows us. Are you willing to share it all, even though God knows us? I think about relationships that we have in our life of who knows us. I think, in my experience, the knowing of us makes a big difference in our relationships. How well are we known, warts and all? And then still being loved by someone. There's a psychological tool that's been used for a long, long time called the Johari window. Has anybody heard of that? Imagine a square, and there is division in that square, like right down the middle, and then right across. So there are four squares. One of the squares represents what is known to yourself about you and what others know about you. It's kind of like the arena, the open place. And then there's the blind spot in another square. Have you ever been told you have a blind spot? That's what's not known to yourself, but others know. It's your blind spot. And then there's another square not known to others. It's your facade. It's how you appear. Not really you, but how they perceive you, others perceive you. And then there's another square, and this is a fascinating one for people involved in psychology as I am, where it's unseen. It's unseen by you, and it's unseen by others. It's in the unconscious, or subconscious, I guess, spirit. So who knows you? You remember that song of years and years ago? Maybe you don't. Some of you are pretty young, but to know you. You remember that? To know you is to love you, and I do. My husband was dying several years ago. He'd gotten a diagnosis that we knew was going to be terminal. We didn't know how long he had. He ended up having 2.5 years, for which I'm amazingly grateful. But 2 weeks after this diagnosis was shared with us, we were sitting down to dinner. And I had almost set all the table. My husband was sitting across from me. And I was just about to put myself down in the chair. And my husband said, you know, I've been thinking. My response was, oh, no. And he said, no, really, I've been thinking. And I was standing up. I didn't quite make it down to the chair. And I said, what about? And he said, I think you've got a lot of good years. A lot of good years ahead of you, and I think you should get married again. And of course, I wept. And after the weeping and gnashing of teeth was over, I sat down, and then this came to me. I slammed my hand down on the table, and I said, "I'll do it." And he said, "Do what?" And I said, "I'll get married again." He said, "You will?" I said, "Yes, I will. On one condition." "What's that?" "You pick him." I said, "You know me better than anyone else, warts and all, inside and out. And you would know who's suitable." Well, he hasn't done that yet. But who knows? We are called to love God and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Sometimes it's pretty hard to love ourselves because we think we've done this or that or the other thing that is unforgivable. God forgives us. God forgives us. Even if we don't ask for it. Do you know that? Even if we don't ask for it. God has forgiven so many in Scripture. We can just see that. Who never asked for forgiveness? As a pastor and as a licensed marriage and family therapist, I have heard this a lot. I've never told anyone this before, but, and I'm sure Pastor David, Pastor Carla, you've heard the same thing. And then someone unburdened. "If you only knew who I really was, you wouldn't like me, much less love me." I want to say, I'm skipping some stories here, which I'll tell you another time maybe. I wonder about, as we're in the beginning still of Lent, if you might consider telling someone you trust, you know, more about who you are. Because that really develops relationships. Don't be that hard to know person. You have to feel safe, but tell someone something about your life. You may find that they've experienced the same thing, or they know someone else who has experienced the same thing, and you might have a bond there that you may not have had otherwise. When the Me Too movement began, I received on my Facebook page an email from a dear friend who I've known for a very long time, since I was 15 years old. And she felt compelled to send out a post telling all of us that she had been molested by a youth pastor many, many years ago, and she'd never told anyone. And did we shun her in any way? Absolutely not. On her Facebook site, many women began to tell their stories to her, and there was a bond. And that freed me up to tell my story. She already had known it. She had another girlfriend who's already passed. But it's freeing to people to get to know you as you really are. So this water that Jesus talks about, this eternal water. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Where do you get it? Do you know where you get it? You get it from the Spirit. God's Spirit blessed this child today. God gifted this child with the Holy Spirit today. And that forever water, I think we could say, eternal water will continue to flow within him as he grows and as he's nurtured by his parents and his sponsors and the church to become the person that God wants him to be. So, if you feel like your water has maybe stopped flowing as much as it might, or you feel like your faith is not as strong as it might be, or you're struggling, ask the Holy Spirit. Just ask the Holy Spirit for that living water. And then wait and see what happens. Amen.
We continue with our prayers. You may remain seated. After each petition, I'll end with, Lord, in your mercy, please respond with, hear our prayer. Our Lenten journey leads us to repentance and new life. Let us turn our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, we thank you that you do know us. You see us exactly where we are. You see our anxieties. You see our fears, our hopes, our dreams. And you meet us. You meet us at the well. We thank you that you meet us exactly where we are. Lord, in your mercy. And Jesus, because you love us, we come before you now with ourselves, our loved ones, our situations, the situations around us that are causing us concern. And we raise these to you now, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Today, we especially pray for Cliff and Bob and Helen, for Donna, for James, for Jen, for Linda, for Sally. And we rejoice today at the baptism of Miles. May he continue to be bathed daily in your mercy, your light, and your love. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you meet us in times of uncertainty and that you are here. We ask for your peace, that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that does not make sense, but that can guide us and allow us to be peaceful during anxious times. We pray your blessing on this family here today. We pray your blessing on those who are here and those who cannot be here today. We pray your blessing on all healthcare workers, all first responders. We pray your blessing on all those now who are food insecure, who are without shelter, and who are very vulnerable in this time. We pray that we will be at your church today, tomorrow, and for the weeks and months and years ahead, by your mercy and by your grace. Let us pray. We pray your blessing, Lord, on all troubled areas in the world. We especially lift before you Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran. We bring before you Central America, all refugees, asylum seekers, immigrants. Pray your blessing on those in China, in Italy, and all other areas deeply affected by this virus. And we pray, Lord, for your hope, your guidance, your peace. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. We ask your blessing, Lord, on our bishops, Elizabeth and Andy, all leaders of your church everywhere, and for us, the people of San Marcos Lutheran Church. Lord, guide us, be with us, keep us in your glorious hands. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful and gracious God, hear our prayers and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Uphold us with your Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a word of peace with one another. Go in peace. Follow Jesus. Thanks be to God.